1 Timothy chapter 4, this is God's word this evening. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labour and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Amen. This is God's word to us. I wonder how many of you, as I look around the room, use the gym. How many train or exercise regularly? They tell me it's an important thing to do, especially now that I've hit that really young age of 21 all over again. 40 really, but we'll pretend for a moment or two. I've never been one for much exercise, but last year a number of us set out to climb Scarfell Pike, the highest peak in England. Now we did a little bit of training beforehand, as is always the case. A few years before that, a number of folks from the church climbed Ben Nevis in order to raise funds for our building fund. And for weeks beforehand, they were up and down Damiat. Bit of practice. You would have to climb Damiat, a hill outside Stirling, by the way. You would need to climb Damiat probably something in the region of 500 times to get anywhere near the height of Ben Nevis. But it was good practice, exercise, putting yourself out there. Recently, Rebecca was running in a 5K charity event, and of course, she needed somebody to run with her. So Dad got his shorts on and went out, and we had a wee jog round the block once. And I have to tell you, Dad won. Only just. We're in the middle of the Olympics, and we've seen day after day athletes trying their very best in order to win a gold medal. And they haven't done that by just turning up on the day. For weeks, for months, even for years, they've been working hard, training themselves for the right moment. Far more than working out physically, though, we ought to, as children of God, to be working out spiritually. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul is speaking with his beloved young servant and friend, Timothy. He's training Timothy up for ministry. And although we read this and think, he's speaking to those who are going to be ministers here, I want to kind of change that little thinking for you this evening for a moment or two. Because the word that's translated there in verse 6 as minister is actually the Greek word diakonos, which we often use as deacons, but literally means servants. And I don't think it's too much to stretch a point to say that each one of us in this place tonight is a servant of God. And if we're a servant of God, then the words that Timothy shares here, we can take on board and we can use. We can be involved in godly exercise as well. Paul says to Timothy in verse 7, he says, train yourself to be godly. And that word comes as a word called gymnazo, from where we get our English word, gymnasium. And so we're talking about training, we're talking about exercise, we're talking about the discipline involved within it. We all need to exercise. To win the marathon, people exercise physically day after day. In order to win the prize that Paul speaks of for us getting to heaven, we need to train ourselves to be godly. And that's what I want to encourage us with this evening. This is the start of our mission week. We're getting ready. Indeed, it's time to get on your marks. We're delighted to have these young people with us on the Step Out team to help us. And I want to encourage them tonight with a few words from these verses in their own preparations, not just for the week ahead, but for the rest of their lives. I want to encourage us all as well, not just for this week, but for the rest of our lives as well. We need to be involved in, we need to be doing godly exercise on a regular basis. Here's what Paul says to Timothy in these verses. Three doublets for us this evening, if you like. Three double points. Paul says to Timothy, firstly, you need to read and you need to learn. Read and learn. Verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching you have followed. How can you be brought up in the truths of the faith? Well, you do that by listening to godly parents and watching their example. For the folks here in Cornton, you've heard me talk many times of my own life following the godly example of my grandfather. We all have people who we watch, who go before us, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, older folks in the church whom we look up to, people who have walked the walk, people who we can say are faithfully living out the Christian faith. More than that, though, we aren't just to be watching the example of others. We need to go to the place where the truth is found, and that's in the Bible. We need to be picking it up. We need to be reading it day in and day out. This is God's holy word. It's history, if you like. It's his story. The story of how God made the world and everything in it. How he created us and how he looked at us and said, this is good. Isn't that an amazing thought? He made us and he thought, this is good. The Bible tells us the story, though, of not just how God made us and knows us, but he tells us how humanity mucked up his creation. It tells how he rescued the situation by flooding the earth and saving only Noah. It tells of how we carried on rebelling against God, though, and rejecting him and going our own way and doing our own things, forgetting about following his instructions for good living. The Old Testament points towards the coming of the Messiah, towards Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God who can take away the sin of the world. The New Testament then is Jesus' story. We learn of his life, his death, his resurrection before pointing to his coming again one day in order to take us to be with him forever and forever. Never tired of reading the pages of Scripture. Never tired of hearing God's word. Do you read it daily? Do you read it daily? Have you read right through the Bible from cover to cover? I know there are some difficult passages in the Bible. I know there are bits that we like to pass over because we don't understand them. I don't understand everything always either. But we read it and we pray for God to illuminate our minds, to help us to understand. That's why we've been going through here in Cornton, through the Bible, day by day, chapter by chapter. That's why we're in the middle of the Psalms just now, having spent a year and a half in some really good Old Testament passages and in some really tough Old Testament passages as well. And we've been encouraged by God's word. Paul says to Timothy, if you are to do well in life, if you're to be the kind of minister for the gospel I want you to be, if you're going to be a servant of God in the way that God wants, then you need to train yourself in godly exercise. And to do that, you need to read and you need to learn. Read and learn. And it's not enough just to read. We need to learn and put into practice what we're doing. So Paul says, read and learn. Then he says to Timothy, he says, command and teach. Command and teach. Verse 11, as we jump down there, he says, command and teach these things. You have to teach people everything you've learned in the scriptures. Paul encourages Timothy to share what he's been learning with other people. He urges him to teach them. What are these things? These are the things in the previous verses that Paul is talking about. In verse 6, he spoke of the truth of the faith. In verses 9 and 10, he says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men. He tells us to teach people the truths of the faith. He tells us to teach people the gospel, to share with them the wonderful saving news of Jesus. We're called to teach the truths of the Christian faith. And we're also called, Matthew 28 and verse 19, to go and make disciples of all nations. And what happens when you get to the end of that phrase? He says, teaching them everything I have taught you. Teaching them everything I have commanded you. And that's our job. Each one of us. It's not simply the job of the minister up the front, although he does have special oversight for the flock entrusted to his care under the great shepherd of the sheep. It's all of our responsibilities to be teaching other people the truths of Scripture. We share with them our stories. And as we share our stories, we find them intertwined with the story of Jesus. As we speak of our sinful lives before knowing Christ, we speak of our conversion story, of how we come to put our trust and our faith in him, how our broken lives were fixed, and then we go on to say how we've been living since we became Christians and believers. Paul says, command and teach. With command comes the idea, though, not simply of sharing a few words, but with command comes that sense of authority. You know, I think there's nothing worse than somebody standing up in a pulpit with a few little words here and a few little words there about God's word. It needs power, it needs authority. And that doesn't come because the person speaking up the front is full of authority and full of power. It comes because what we share is God's word, and it has power and it has authority to teach and to train and to equip us. To be reading it and to be learning it, not just reading little bits, but reading passages together, a whole chunk of verses all in one go. I was down at Keswick for a couple of days this week, and the guy encouraged my heart because of my time of preaching and how important I feel, because he was talking about the need to go through books of the Bible systematically in an expository way so that you catch everything that's there. And his phrase was, he gets all these preachers to do here a verse, there a verse, everywhere a verse, verse, a bit like old MacDonald on his farm. It's important to read God's word completely, not to take a verse here and a verse there and a verse the next place. There's a danger in that, friends. Why? Because I heard a story one day of a guy who thought to himself, man, I'm in a really difficult position. And I've probably told you this before, but you'll excuse me for doing it again, because a good story is worth repeating again and again. Anyway, he was struggling, and he thought to himself, I must pick up a Bible and read a verse. So he picked up his Bible, and he read to himself, Judas hung himself. And he thought, man, life's bad, but I don't think it's that bad. So he flipped a few pages, trying to find another verse for him. And the verse he opened up and read, it said, go and do likewise. It's dangerous to pick up just a little verse here and a little verse there and use it. Read through systematically, verse by verse, passage by passage, and then we're to go and to teach it. And those words, by the way, that Paul says in verse 11, command and teach these things, are in what we call the imperfect tense. I'm trying to pretend to be good at English here. I never was. But they're in the imperfect tense, which means that they are continuous. Timothy is to keep on commanding. He is to keep on teaching. He's not to give up when struggles come. He's not to give up when he thinks he's shared a couple of words with somebody. He's to go back again and again and again and again. That's why every summer we have step out teams up and down the country. That's why every summer some of those step out teams go to the same churches. That's why we do a kids' mission here every summer.
so that the gospel message is taught again and again and again. That's why, from the church's inception in 1959, one of the key components has been work with children in the Sunday school, in a girls' club, in a boys' club, now in the kids' club, and in Step Out Missions, so that we keep on teaching. Read and learn. Command and teach. Which leads us nicely to our last point. We are to walk and to witness. Beside the other two, we are to walk and to witness. People watch how we live. They watch what we say. They watch how we act. Indeed, someone once said, preach the word, and if necessary, use words. Someone else was known to say that our lives are the only Bible some people will read. And that's why Paul, as he gets towards the end of this section in Timothy, says in verse 16, watch your life and doctrine closely. Watch them. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. People watch how we live, and they follow suit. They watch what we do, and they'll either be attracted to Jesus or turned off by how we live and act. Earlier in verse 12, Paul says to Timothy, set an example for the believers. Set an example. Set that example, he says, in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I suppose this is at the heart of just what I want us to take away this evening. As we train ourselves to be godly, we live it out in full view of others. We set an example. And the Step Out team and those involved in mission this week, that is the key point for us. People will see what we've been reading and learning. They will listen to our commands and our teaching only if our walk in witness is right. We need to set the right example. And Paul lists five areas here for us to think on. So very quickly, in speech, we have to watch what we say and how we say it. Watch the words you use. Choose your words carefully. Don't use words that have become so common on the lips of people today, those kind of words that in essence are foul and abusive, and yet everybody seems to use them. Don't use them. Stand out from the crowd. Choose your words carefully. Make sure they're positive and not negative. Build people up with your words rather than tearing them down. Speak to them in love. Our words can cause serious harm. Let's make sure when we speak, we do so thoughtfully, lovingly, in speech. Paul says, in life. Now that covers an incredible amount. The Greek word translated here probably more accurately means behaviour or conduct. Behaviour or conduct. Watch what you do. Live your life for God at all times, says Paul. Don't say one thing and then do something else. Paul says to Titus in Titus 1:16, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing for people to say about us? They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. And the point that Paul is making is that Timothy needs to keep his life centered in God's word. He needs to use that as his basis for living life on earth. It's not enough to read God's word on a Sunday. It's not enough to sing his praise in the service and then just to throw his word out the window as we live our lives during the week. Watch your conduct. Walk in witness, in speech, in life, in love, or in charity, as some translations put it. And that points towards the motivation of our lives. What is it that motivates us most? For Paul, it was his love for Jesus, which is what he's expressing to Timothy here. Paul had tried for many years to punish Christians, to catch them and to torture them. But then Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and his life was changed forever. And ever since then, because of his love for Jesus, because Jesus saved him, he wanted to take that love out and to share it with others. He felt compelled to serve Jesus. He felt compelled to share with others the wonderful news that Jesus saves in love. And then there's the other words there. In faith, And that implies that we trust God and are faithful to Him. Paul is encouraging Timothy to keep trusting God, to remember that God is always faithful. And in return, he challenges Timothy to remain faithful to God. Life is tough. Life is difficult. There'll be times when we wonder where God is and why He's letting something happen. But it's in those times you have to keep trusting and to remain faithful. God is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And in all that we do, we are to be faithful to God. And our faith and faithfulness will be an example to others. Watch your faith. And then lastly, he says, in purity. And this is an important aspect for us in our world today because we live in an evil world. In Timothy's day, there were many temptations, just as there are today as well. And the opportunity to lose your purity and to sin was very evident. And Paul was encouraging Timothy to remain pure. Jesus said in the Gospels, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And the encouragement is to keep himself pure in heart, in mind, and in body. There are many temptations around us. There'll be many temptations this week in different ways at different times. And the challenge is for us to keep our eyes on Jesus and to remain pure. People watch our walk and our witness. In a story that was in one of the devotionals not so long ago about a preacher in the States in the 1940s, a man called Will Houghton. He served eventually as president of Moody Bible Institute, an agnostic man, a man who didn't trust much in the Bible and in the gospel, was contemplating suicide. And he decided that if he could find a minister who lived his faith, then he would stop and he would listen to him before he did anything silly and stupid. So he heard of this new man coming to town to be minister of a church, and he hired a private detective to go and watch this man, to listen to him on a Sunday. But more importantly, to watch what he then did on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. The private investigator reported back to this agnostic man and he said, "This man lives a great life. He is above reproach. What he says on Sunday, he lives out during the rest of the week. His words match his walk." Isn't that an incredible thing? Christians must be people of godly integrity. We gain that as we undertake godly exercise. And that means that we're required to discipline ourselves to read and to learn, to command and to teach, and to walk and to witness. This week, friends, let's be found in God's word. Don't just read it though. Let's live it out. And the children, the young people that we'll come across this week, well, they'll see how our life is. They will see our walk and our witness. And as they do that, I pray that they will be pointed to the Saviour. As we get on our marks this week, let's keep exercising and let's make it godly exercise. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the encouragement it has for us and the many different parts. We thank you for these words that Paul shared with Timothy. And Lord, we know Timothy has been trained up as a minister of the gospel, trained up to pastor a church, trained up to lead people. But Lord, we thank you that those words are just as apt for each one of us in this place. For we are all your servants. We are all ministers of the word in our own individual lives. And so we pray, Father God, that you would help us to be undertaking godly exercise on a regular basis. We pray that we'd be reading and learning. And we pray that as we read and as we learn, that we would apply that as we command and as we teach others. But importantly, above everything else, Father God, help us to walk and to witness, to walk the walk, to allow what we read, to allow what we learn, to allow what we say to be lived out in our lives day by day. So Lord, bless the team this week as they lead our mission. May they set a great example to our children and young people. Bless each of us, Father God, as we go about our own business this week. Help us to walk and to witness well for you. And Lord, for all of us, for each day of our lives going forward, help us to keep training ourselves to be godly. Help us to be watching our lives so that we might point others to Christ. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.